The threat to democracy that was present on January 6th isn't over. That was the message from a former federal judge, Michael Luttig, at the end of today's hearing by the House January 6th committee.
Donald Trump and his allies and supporters are a clear and present danger to American democracy.
Among today's revelations, a lawyer who pushed a plan for former Vice President Mike Pence to overturn the results of the 2020 election admitted it wouldn't stand up in court, was warned it could cause violence, and he pressed on anyway. NPR congressional correspondent Deirdre Walsh has been following the hearings and is here in the studio now. Hi, Deirdre.
Hi, Ari.
That lawyer I mentioned was John Eastman, who was pushing a memo with a plan for Pence to overturn the election results. What did we learn about him today?
Well, today's hearing featured testimony from Greg Jacob. He was Pence's White House attorney, and he spent a lot of time talking to Eastman about this theory that he was pushing. Jacob was clear, after doing a lot of research, that the Constitution would not allow in any way for Pence to overturn the results. He had repeated meetings with Eastman, and he pushed back. He recalled telling Eastman in one meeting the day before the January 6th attack that his plan would lose 9-0 in the Supreme Court, and said Eastman basically admitted that he was right, that Jacob was right. Eastman was shown today that he just wouldn't back down, even after he heard a conversation with another White House lawyer, Eric Hirschman. Let's listen to Hirschman now.
He said, you're going to cause riots in the streets. And he said, words to the effect of, there's been violence in the history of our country, Eric, to protect the democracy or protect the republic.
The committee also revealed today that there was an email to Rudy Giuliani where Eastman said he wanted to get a presidential pardon after January 6th. He did not get one.
I think one scene from January 6th that everybody will remember is rioters chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." What did we learn today about what was happening behind the scenes in that moment?
We got a lot of detailed information about what was going on at the White House. There were staffers in the White House press office, staffers in Chief of Staff Mark Meadows' office, who were worried about the escalating violence. Some of them worked as staffers on the Hill and knew how bad it was getting. When they gathered together to say that it was time for the president to send a tweet directing the protesters to stand down, they looked at their phones and they saw a notification that he actually had sent a tweet, but instead he called out Mike Pence for not being loyal to him. And here's what White House press aide Sarah Matthews said about that.
The situation was already bad, and so it felt like he was pouring gasoline on the fire by tweeting that.
Now, you mentioned that there was talk of the Supreme Court, and it sounds like the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas might speak to the committee soon. What can you tell us about that?
Well, last night, the Washington Post reported that the committee has evidence that Ginny Thomas was in touch with John Eastman, that there was correspondence between the two of them. We already knew that Thomas had been texting Mark Meadows. Committee has text messages.
Chief of staff to the president.
Correct. Today, the chairman of the committee, Benny Thompson, said he wants the committee to talk to Ginny Thomas. And I talked to an aide to the vice chair, Liz Cheney, who also agrees. Thomas told the conservative website The Daily Caller today that she would look forward to coming in and talking to the committee, that she wants to clear up what she calls misconceptions. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of interest in that deposition.
Yeah. What would that increased scrutiny on her mean for her husband, Clarence Thomas?
You know, there's no evidence directly linking Ginny Thomas's activities to her husband, the Supreme Court justice. But it raises so many questions about ethics at the Supreme Court. They don't really they have very, you know, loose rules about when they recuse themselves from cases. Justice Thomas did not recuse himself from matters related to January 6th. And we know that he talks about his wife, Ginny Thomas, is, quote, his best friend. It's worth noting that Justice Thomas dissented in key cases after the election when the court ruled against the former president.
It's NPR's Deirdre Walsh. Thank you for your reporting.
Thanks, Ari.